Nigel, the thunder god of Saxon, joining us now. Nigel, thank you for joining us, man.
I haven't heard that
before. You like that? Yeah.
Yeah,
cool. Nice, nice. How you doing, man? Where are you? Looks somewhat tropical there, or at least I'm looking at.
I'm just in the south of England, but you know, okay. With the time difference, it's about 3:30 in the afternoon here.
Okay, all right.
Put on.
We've got a storm going on at the moment, though.
Oh, geez. Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. See the wind blowing there.
Oh, yeah. Jesus. Yeah. I mean, some of the speeds apparently have been 122 miles an hour in parts of the country.
Oh, my God.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have heavy winds, too, here right now. But it's not. It's not. It's only 50 miles an hour, so. Jeez.
Yeah. Boy, oh, boy. Well, thank you for joining us. And, you know, it's always great to talk with folks, especially on Zoom, kind of see where people are and what they're up to. Carpe Diem's the album. It's out now. And, you know, it's so fiery. It's amazing. And, you know, I was reading, I understand you did the drums way back in 2019. So when this comes out, I mean, when you're hearing it, I guess, you know, again for a while, I mean, what's it like to kind of have the whole thing done and out now?
Yeah, no, it's great. It's a bit of a relief, actually, because having done it that long ago, you know. But, no, it was great because, I mean, you know, the pandemic obviously meant we couldn't tour or anything. But so, in a way, it gave us more time to sort of finely tune Carpe Diem, you know, and play around with different parts and things. And but, yeah, I did, as I say, I did the tracks, towards the end of 2019.
Right. After all these years... Go ahead, Jim. Yeah.
The album just absolutely crunches. It kind of takes me right back to the days of, you know, Crusader 1984, not to say that you're backtracking, but it's just that hard of an album. Yeah. Is that something that you guys went into this planning, kind of like, we really got to make this thing cook?
Oh, no, I mean, we always try and do that, you know, every time. We're sort of, you know, we don't like the sort of... you know, all fillers type thing. We're not into that. We're quite sort of up on, you know, how we won't let anything go that we're not happy with, you know, just for the sake of it. So as I said, this gave us more time. And plus the fact, you know, it's working with Andy Sneap producing as well. I mean, for me personally, he just gets a great drum sound and everything. And we sort of work together on it. You know, he sends me things. Once I've done the drum tracks, he plays around with them sonically and he'll send me things, say, what do you think of this? And we might go, no, it's a bit bassy, that or whatever. And so we constantly, you know, reach a sort of happy medium, which is great. And I love his drum sound. He's great fun to work with too.
Yeah.
He's an integral part of our sound, I would say.
Yeah, I was going to say, how great is Andy? I mean, he's, you know, obviously he's been busy with, you know, the Priest tour and everything, but he's just such a revered producer and, you know, especially guitar driven producer. What's that like for you to work with a producer who has such a keen ear to guitar and obviously drums too, of course, as you just mentioned?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's great because, I mean, I've said to this to other people, he really gets what we're about. You know, I mean, he's a big fan anyway. Yeah. But he actually understands what we're about. And, you know, because in the past we've had producers that sort of don't quite, you know, they think they've got us, but they haven't, you know, because we're a sort of, Andy gets us, he knows the power we project live. Yeah. So he put that sonically on the albums. You know, he knows what we should be sounding like, which is great. So it's lovely. It's great to work with someone that works like that, you know?
Absolutely.
Is there a, saying that about producers, is an album that you look back on, you know, since 81, where you just wish you guys could redo it?
Yeah, in a way. I mean, we might sort of, I'm trying to think, yeah, probably for me, it'd be, although I love the album, actually, it's funny, and I think it's sort of been sort of passed by a lot of people, Rock the Nations.
Ah.
You know, I'd like to, I think that would be fun to re-record that actually with Andy, maybe, you know.
Okay.
I'd love to hear that track Battle Cry with Andy's drum sound.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
I think the kick drums on that would cave your head in, you know. But you know, but as it turned out, I mean, I really liked that album. I mean, considering management and the record company only gave us 10 days to write that album. You know, so I think we did damn well on it.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah, yeah.
It's a great album title.
It is.
I wonder why.
One of our favorites, interestingly enough. Because I know some bands have done that. They've re-recorded some things. I know Scorpions re-recorded some stuff that they did. Kiss, of course, you know. Is that it's always interesting too, because you know you can get an updated sound and all of that. So I mean, you know, would there be plans for something like that, or just kind of, well, obviously your hands are full now.
I don't know. I mean, we really, you know, when I first joined the band, I mean, on the American issue of Power and the Glory, we did Susie Hold On, which was on Wheels of Steel.
And that
version of Susie Hold On never got released in the UK, unless it was on a special. It might have been on a later edition of it, but the initial album, no, it wasn't. That was just for America only. So that was, you know, even that was sort of updating the sound, you know, even though it was a couple of years difference, still updated the sound. But yeah, I mean, as I said, I'd quite like, you know, there's some tracks off Rock the Nations I'd like to go in and have a go at.
That would be
fantastic.
Yeah, you heard it here first. No, or second, or third, wherever you said it before.
Yeah, that was an era where a lot of production was very interesting, to say the least. And if you were rushed like that, which we didn't know, 10 days, that's just not fair. That's not right.
It was great fun to do it. We did it in a studio called Whistle Lord in Holland. Mm-hmm. And as you probably know, Elton John played on a couple of tracks on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he was in the same studio complex.
Amazing.
And, you know, he sort of begged us to let him play on a couple of tracks. What was really funny, when we first got there, his band was always in our studio control room listening to us and grooving.
Oh, wow.
Their producer had to come in and kick them out and say, come on, we've got work to do here. No, we got on great with them. It was brilliant.
Is that something for you that, you know, obviously that seemed like a natural thing, you know, to have Elton John there, but for fans, you know, they might be like, wow, that's such a different genre, you know, I mean, but I guess as a musician, is it just, it's fluid like that, right? I mean, you know, whoever's around sometimes joins in, even if it's, you know, someone.
Yeah, we just got on great with them, you know, and he asked, you know, God, I'd really love to play on it. We thought, why the hell not?
Yeah.
You know, why
that's
not?
That's awesome.
It was good fun, you know.
Yeah.